Hello, this is James Madig speaking. You're listening to another podcast from the Blogging Secrets series. Blogging Secrets is brought to you by WPBlogSupport.com, where you can get live, unlimited WordPress support available 24/7, small jobs, tweaks, fixes, and maintenance done to your WordPress blog. Visit www.wpblogsupport.com for more details. Hello and welcome, everyone. This is James Madig speaking, and you're listening to another great podcast where we talk about all things WordPress, blogging, membership sites, and I've got a guest on today that I've known online for quite a while, and someone that that has the same passion for one of my particular passions, which of course is online video and screencasts. And I'm on the phone today with Lon Naylor, and we're going to talk about all of the neat stuff that he's doing with screen capture software and Camtasia specifically, and also talk about how he's using WordPress as a membership site and a platform to actually sell his products and services. So thank you for joining me today.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, perfect, perfect. Now, you know, we talked a little bit before we started recording just about some of the stuff you're doing, but maybe if you could give a little bit of a background to the listeners on sort of how you got started and what your focus is on today. Because, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot of stories to tell. You've been online for a while.
I've been online for quite a while. I actually am like a 35-year veteran of the computer industry, and I spent the last 10 years of my professional career as a senior engineer with Microsoft, which was basically the decade of the 90s. And that's really kind of how I got started in all of this stuff. Certainly the Internet started popping about the mid-90s there, and one of my tasks was to be a technical evangelist for Internet media and what Microsoft was doing and things like that. I started using PowerPoint to deliver, you know, visual presentations and things like that, and that just kind of evolved into video. So that's kind of how I got started in it. I retired from Microsoft in 1999 at age 41.
Wow.
Two words there, stock options. Thanks, Uncle Bill.
Yeah.
And so essentially then I, you know, being an engineer at heart, I just kind of looked around and I loved the technology. And then certainly when YouTube came about in 2005, well, everything just kind of became possible. And having a good amount of experience with the whole deal there, I just set my sights on kind of helping others do the stuff that I do, which is make online video, screencasting, like you mentioned, screen capture, which is capturing that which is on your computer screen with narration and saving it to video, and also the presentation style videos like you can make with simple PowerPoint slides. So
cool. So you were kind of lucky in terms of, you know, starting up a business that you had a solid platform to, in terms of financially, you had the stock options, and I'm sure all the experience with PowerPoint and Microsoft in terms of, you know, starting and building your own business, that was a real solid way to get started.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it really gave me a good platform and the resources and things to be able to pursue my passion as opposed to struggling to build a business, I guess. That's kind of sweet if you think about
it. Yeah, no kidding, because, you know, I'm sure you talk to lots of people who, you know, are starting with an idea, but, you know, they don't have funding, they don't have consistent cash flow to get started, and in terms of starting up, especially with in terms of an Internet business, having, you know, a solid footing to work from is something that everyone, would be blessed to be starting from.
Yeah. So, I guess the only disadvantage there is that I don't have a Internet marketing sob story. I never lived out of my car, you know, and so there you go.
Yeah, there's lots of those, aren't there?
There are. I don't,
and who knows if they're true today, but yeah, because I started in, you know, my first site was in 96, so I'm kind of in the same boat as you, and there was lots of sob stories during those early days, that's for sure.
Sure.
So you've got Video, it's kind of a common thing yet, and one of the things that I run into is that, you know, and as much as there's YouTube and the ability with, you know, with simple tools available online, some free, some paid for, to create stuff like a screen capture or even, a talking head video, I run into people that aren't doing that yet. So what's kind of, is that something that you find? Are there some things that people are afraid to do when it comes to doing these videos, even though they should be doing them?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the misconception I think folks have is that video is difficult or complicated to do because, you know, typically if you think of, online video, then you got all kinds of expensive cameras and lighting and, you know, stuff like that. And then there's certainly a segment of the population like me that believes that, you know, we kind of have a face for radio, so there's that aspect of being somewhat tentative to being on camera, and that's kind of one of the things that slows people down, I think. That's one of the reasons why I kind of like screencasts. I can create, you know, demonstration and tutorial products on video, and the presentation-style videos, I can give a presentation just like I was up on a stage, and it can be as compelling as my presentation, you know, can be. It's just that I don't have to mess with any of the complexity or things like that of the video camera. Now, that kind of being said, my latest crusades here is I'm working with some folks that are experts at using, like, your mobile device as a video camera, your iPhone, your Android phone. And we're just getting, like, stunning results. And the interesting thing is that people seem to be a lot more receptive to something like that. It's something they're familiar with than all of this foreign technology and stuff.
Yeah, so it's the selfie generation.
Yeah, could be. But I'll tell you what, you can get some really rock and roll video on an iPhone today, and accessories and tripods and extra little lenses that just clip on, and the apps on those devices are just incredible. They'll make you look good, and you know how simple it is to use that kind of device. You just press stuff, and boom, it's just kind of ready to go. So I think that's really kind of revolutionary, especially the adoption rate of the mobile devices. You know, we talked a little bit about when the internet first started, and the adoption rate on these mobile devices and stuff is like half that time. Did you know that there are now more mobile devices on the planet than there are people? So there you go.
That doesn't make sense, but
well, yeah, I have four, so.
Well, I guess you're right, because if you consider some of the tablets, the smaller tablets, and some of the phablets and things that are showing up as well, people are carrying two or three devices with them now that are mobile devices. So I can definitely see that. Yeah, I saw you posted that actually. I think you made a post about that on Facebook this week, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, something about the mobile devices. And that's kind of interesting. One of the things that maybe you could comment on is, the level of production that people are expecting on all of the web videos. I think you're right. A lot of people have this impression that, that they've got to look like a movie star to be on and on a professional set. But I guess on mobile devices, that, removes that whole issue.
Well, it certainly removes a lot of it. And I guess it kind of goes along to the aspect of production value, like you mentioned. One of the things that I find is that sometimes people try to make things too complicated. They try to add all kinds of whirling, twirling, spinning, whizzing graphics and stuff like that. And, that looks good, but if you don't pull it off well, you kind of end up looking stupid. So there's a little bit of a balance there. There's something to be said, because I always focus on, what is the content? The content is the main thing. And if you put out good content and you keep it as simple as can be, you know, well produced, then you're going to be pretty much ahead of the game instead of focusing on, you know, that other production junk.
Yeah. You don't want to look like you just got some new software and are trying to figure out how to use it.
And are trying to figure out and failing at that so far.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and the other thing that when I talk to other marketers as well, the one kind of thing, especially when it gets to creating content and blogging, is that, you know, having some personality, and that people get attracted to your personality, your particular view of things, and having being able to share a little bit about yourself and your message, and doing that in a less produced sort of approach, I think. You know, I think it fits better in terms of marketing yourself as well. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, to a degree. Again, as long as it's fairly well done. I don't, you know, and this argument's been going on for years among a lot of internet video marketers, is that it doesn't matter what you put out there. Just get videos out there. You know, mm-hmm. They can be crappy and nobody cares. Well, the thing is that more and more as the, you know, pipes fill up and the cesspool that is becoming YouTube fills with the garbage, you know,
yeah.
People will gravitate towards content that is, you know, again, if not high production value, high content value. So mm-hmm. you don't want to, you know, just, you know, go totally off the edge with that concept, but certainly to appear genuine and to come across in a passionate and, you know, personable way, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, like you say, it's probably an advantage.
Yeah. Okay. So
I was just going to say, because people, especially for us marketers, people buy from people they know, like, and trust. You know this
yeah.
very well. And what you can impart to people in a visual way and with your voice and your inflection and things is your perspective. And
mm-hmm.
that's what people really gravitate to, especially if you're trying to, you know, sell something or recommend something. They're
mm-hmm.
not interested necessarily in just information. Information on the internet today is everywhere, right? And it's
mm-hmm.
free. Well,
yeah.
What people really want is they want you to help them buy. So they want your perspective and, you know, to be able to know, like, and trust you.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, those are all things that, you know, I think people, they hear about video as one of the tools they should be used to selling their product and services, let alone, you know, being the product and service that they sell. But it's the experience of getting out and being comfortable sharing, you know, who you are and your position. That's the stuff that, you know, that people still have to do tiled with good content and a minimum production level.
Yeah, that's a good recipe for getting started, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say, for example, someone's listening and they go, okay, great, I got some screencasts, or some screen captures that I did. Just talk about, is there some sort of a basic level of tools that you recommend to get started with that, if someone hasn't done, or if they're just sort of, you know, thinking about what is my kind of minimum startup sort of recipe for producing that kind of content?
Sure. Well, there, I'll say there's minimum, and then there's minimum good. Because people always ask me, well, can't I recommend a program called Camtasia
mm-hmm.
on the PC, and then I'm not a Mac guy, but most of my Mac counterparts, they prefer a program called ScreenFlow. And, you know, that it's $100 on the Mac, and it's about, oh, I don't know, $250 on the PC. But people are always asking me, well, isn't there a free version? And certainly there are free resources and things like that out there. But when it comes to my business, I always consider the options of, what is a mission-critical application, and am I going to invest in it? And
mm-hmm.
I think certainly, you know, Camtasia is one of those examples that you can do stuff for free, but at the end of the day, nothing is free. You're going to pay in blood, sweat, tears, or all the above in learning how to use something that ultimately may or may not do what you want it to do, whereas if you had spent that time and the equivalent of that time's money in investing in your business, then you'd have something that's very solid that is so versatile, you know, and can yield so much of a return on investment that it really just kind of shoots it over the top. I make a lot of videos using nothing more than PowerPoint, and you can certainly use something like the app on Google Plus or almost anything that is a presentation kind of a thing. If you craft your content right, if you grab people's attention in the beginning and you give them great information and a strong call to action at the end, then gosh, I could pull up Notepad and start making some notes and capture it with a free screen recording utility, which you can find on Google. Just Google free screen capture or something like that.
Yeah, so you're a big fan of Camtasia then?
Yes, I recommend Camtasia.
Yeah.
Because it's a screen recording, it's state-of-the-art screen recording software, so it's your video camera for your computer monitor, and it is a delightfully simple-to-use video editor. The other thing, I mentioned complexity and stuff like that earlier, is that, gosh, if you've ever tried to use some of the video editing software out there, some of it gets pretty hairy. Adobe Premiere or, Adobe After Effects is probably the most powerful thing on the planet, but man, it is stupid complex. Yeah. And, a lot of people kind of get stumbled on that. But so I like Camtasia because its interface and the features that it provides are nicely intuitive, and it's just not rocket science to use.
Yeah, and as sort of a sideline, I'm a big Camtasia user as well, and in fact, I even do my podcasts on Camtasia.
I'm doing one right now. I just finished editing a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't even have to be for screen captures. It'll output MP3s and allow you to do transitions and all the neat stuff that you need to do. So it is very versatile, that's for sure. Okay. So someone's got Camtasia. They played around a little bit, or they've got PowerPoint. And I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, PowerPoint has another plugin that they just put out that actually creates screen captures from your slide decks and stuff as well. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, I was just going to say sorry. The PowerPoint version 2010 and higher both have. So the current version is 2013. So 2010 and higher, PowerPoint actually has the ability to record your presentation with narration and all of your slide transitions and stuff, and then spit it out as video. So in that sense, it is it's the only tool that a lot of people need to start with. And Keynote on the Macintosh does pretty much the same thing, I believe.
Okay. So here's kind of the next question. You've got these podcasts, you've got these screen captures that you've done and videos that you've done. I know that you're using WordPress. Your business is working around a membership model, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and you're using WordPress to kind of as the home to distribute your content. So would you be able just to share a little bit about how you've got your business set up with WordPress? Is that something you're willing to do? Give away a secret or two if you can?
Well, I don't know if I have any deep, dark secrets, but I use WordPress, and I have several sites, but I use WordPress on all of them.
Okay.
So all my production sites are and revenue generating sites are based on WordPress, and I use then just a couple of different themes to give the front end. I use OptimizePress, and I'm actually playing with a new one on one of my sites. It's called Profit Builder, and it is What I like about it is, and I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I hate, and when I say hate, I mean this in the strongest possible terms, I hate the editor in WordPress.
Okay.
You know, to create your posts and stuff like that. I just hate it. Nothing ever looks the way it ends up looking, and there, you know, and on WordPress and things, there's always some kind of CSS issue or other technical, you know, under the covers junk that I just don't have time to hunt down. So this new one called Profit Builder, I'm finding, you know, just it is very drag and drop, intuitive to build pages and, you know, the kinds of pages you want to have for a business. Landing pages, squeeze pages, product pages, you know, all of those things. So those are all in template form. And so I can just kind of pick the kind of page I want, the way it looks, and then just very easily modify it. And it updates it real time in the editor so you can see exactly what it's going to look like. And then you publish it out. So the cool thing, I think, about WordPress is that you can use it as the platform, and then there are all these other tools and things that, you know, keep coming out that are just making it easier and easier. And then for the membership side, I use Digital Access Pass.
You're a DAP user, are you?
Okay. Yep, I was one of, like, the original DAP users. Ravi and Vina are good friends of mine, and another good buddy of mine, Bob Jenkins, we got started at the same time with it, and yeah, it's good. I like DAP a lot for the technical functions it provides. The one thing I've been kind of beating up Ravi and Vina on, and they're the creators of Digital Access Pass, DAP.
And engineers by trade.
Yeah, what I would like to have is a better admin back end to it.
Yeah.
You know, they're coders, and there's things in running it day to day, like some more and varied reports and, you know, stuff like that, that just really hasn't changed much in the last few versions. But they tell me that they're on it, and, of course, I'm sure that they are.
Yeah, actually, I reached out to Ravi earlier this week to interview him as well, because I've got a couple sites that run DAP as well. So
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm a huge fan. You know, it does so many things so well, and their coding is just so
awesome.
It's
impeccable.
Yeah. You know, they are just really good. And when something just really works, then I really like that, because I tried the other stuff, and, you know, it's a less satisfying experience. Believe me.
What gateway are you using, if you mind me asking?
For payment processing?
Yeah, for the payment processing.
Actually, I'm just using PayPal.
You're just using PayPal? Okay, so you've got DAP, PayPal, and OptimizePress is kind of the platform you're with.
Yep, that sounds about right. Then, you know, just a few other plugins and stuff. Most of them are related to video, though, because there are lots of video players out there that add extra functionality, like the ability to embed buttons and opt-in forms directly inside the video itself. So I use a couple of those. I use Easy Video Suite by Josh Bartlett. I use there's a player called Press Play that it's a newer one. I'm kind of liking that. So those are, you know, a couple of the other extra doodads. And then I think the other bulk of my plugin arrays has to do with security and, I was going to say analytics, but most of the other stuff is taken care of. But security, I use WordFence.
Okay.
Because people out there are bad. There are bad people out there. And they will mess you up if they can, and I don't know why. They want to hurt me.
Yeah. I'm such a nice person. Why are you bugging me?
I know, right? What did I do to them? For gosh sakes. I guess the one other component then I would put in there is I also use lead pages.
You do use lead pages, okay.
I do, yeah. And like I say, this new theme, Power our profit builder does somewhat of the same things, but I really like lead pages also. And those combinations of tools just kind of put everything that I need together and out there. And as you know, things are just getting kind of better and better. Mm-hmm. It seems like easier and easier. So I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, things are getting easier, but there's always more choices, which is the part that I think gets, people confused. What's the best plugin to use? What's the best theme to use? What's the best gateway to use? What's the best membership site? And there's not a cut and dry answer, because they all do things just a little bit differently. The one thing I know, Ravi and DAP, they also have the S3 plugin for serving the videos. Is mm-hmm. that something you're using as well? Or are you keeping your videos on the actual WordPress install? Or are you using a third-party service to distribute your video content?
That's a great question. I use Amazon S3.
Okay,
I would think, at least for a site my size, we get, thousands of hits a day mm-hmm. on learncamtasia.com. And if you tried to run that off of your server, your own server, you'd need a really, really big, bad one. I'm using actually a Liquid Web VPS, virtual private server, but I run all my video content off of Amazon. Okay. So I don't,
You're not worried about stuff choking.
I'm not worried about disk space and bandwidth at all, and Amazon is such a deal. How can you beat hosting on the mighty, mighty Amazon servers for, $5, $10 a month if you're wildly successful?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Well, I always like to sort of go over kind of the way people have their platform set up, because there are a whole bunch of different ways to skin the cat, and you've got a system that you've been using that seems to work for you, which is good. So if someone was thinking about, doing a membership model like you, is there any kind of advice or a couple sort of tips that you could give people as a track to run on, or things to think about that you kind of ran into that are sort of common roadblocks?
Sure. I guess, first of all, if it's a business model, then I would highly recommend providing something of value and building your list mm-hmm. and establishing that credibility, trust, and rapport, like I mentioned. So we use AWeber, and, we have a funnel.
Lead pages, yeah.
Yeah, AWeber and lead pages, and build a funnel, and we just feed people great content. And when it comes time to ask somebody for a sale or to make a recommendation, I do a lot of affiliate marketing as well, okay. then, people, what you end up with are rabid fans instead of people that you're trying to sell to. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of marketers out there, especially beginners, they just try way too hard to sell stuff. One of the questions I get, and you probably do too, is, well, how can I make money? How can I sell stuff to people? And my answer is, well, I don't know. Selling's hard. I don't like to sell. So my basic take is, for the last few years, I stopped selling and mm-hmm. really just, engaged with people in terms of providing my expertise and my perspective, as I mentioned before. And like I say, when it comes time to make that recommendation or ask for that sale, then it's not really selling in the traditional sense of the word. So,
it's sharing your expertise, sharing your expertise and your knowledge and your background.
Yeah, so I think that's one mistake hurdle that a lot of people can at least be aware of, and mm-hmm. I'm certain that style isn't, always right for everyone and things like that, but it's a model that I've learned works really well. I actually kind of started doing it when I engaged with one of my online video buddies, Andy Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
and he is just kind of a master at this. So I would also suggest that you find people out there that you would like to be like, and you emulate them, because chances are, if you, in your market, in your areas of interest, you know, really kind of look to somebody, isn't that what we're trying to achieve, right? So that's one of the big things that I would suggest, you know, to be successful.
Cool. Okay. Well, I just, you know, I always appreciate talking to other marketers and obviously people who are doing well. And specifically, I have a personal preference for video and audio, multimedia as well, because I hate writing stuff. So it's always nice to talk to someone who shares a passion as well for the same medium. So I want to thank you just for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and if people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
Well, they can go to LearnCamtasia, CamtasiA.com, or ScreenCastStudios.com. And I'm actually not a hard guy to find. I think I haven't Googled myself in a while, but there were like thousands of hits the last time I tried that little trick. I'm not too hard to find. You can find me on Facebook, Lon Naylor. The nice thing about having a somewhat unique
faded out,
name,
you're still
is,
there? Okay. You faded out for a second there, just that last sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. The nice thing about having a somewhat unique name is that, you know, I get to snag all of the domain names and stuff like that, and Facebook names, and, you know, I'm the same on Facebook as I am on Twitter, as I am on Google+. It's Lon Naylor.
Perfect. So, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you very much again. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Absolutely. It's been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Good.
Hello, this is James Middig speaking. You're listening to another podcast from the Blogging Secrets series. Blogging Secrets is brought to you by WPBlogSupport.com, where you can get live, unlimited WordPress support available 24/7, small jobs, tweaks, fixes, and maintenance done to your WordPress blog. Visit www.wpblogsupport.com for more details.